You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Jungle Deep. The podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle. Hello. Our guest for the conversation today is the founder and president of Tropical Rainforest Fund, David Seaborg of California. David is an evolutionary biologist and has for 28 years volunteered his time to help save the rainforest through the activities of his nonprofit organization. We will hear about David's reasons for starting Tropical Rainforest Fund, how the fund is funded, the networking they do with other conservation groups, the benefits of involving indigenous peoples in preservation, the effects of evapotranspiration, albedo, global warming, and more. This conversation is in two parts, with the second part appearing on the next episode, episode 16. And now, our conversation begins. Today I'm pleased to have with us David Seaborg, who is an evolutionary biologist, and he's founder and president of the World Rainforest Fund. Hello, David. Thank you for joining us here with the show at Jungle Deep.
Hi, Ken. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I've been looking forward to this interview, and I appreciate you spending some time with us to tell us a little bit about the rainforest problem and what we can do about it. But first, let's find out a little bit about yourself. How did you get interested in the tropical rainforest?
It started when I was a child and I collected reptiles and amphibians, you know, snakes and lizards out in the hills of Lafayette, California, where I was raised. And I never really outgrew that interest. And the interest grew and I became an evolutionary biologist, going to UC Davis for my undergraduate degree, majoring in zoology, and then the University of California at Berkeley for my graduate degree, also majoring in zoology. And I do evolutionary research, publish in the scientific literature my findings. And as a result of the work, I saw that species were disappearing all over the world and that we have a tremendous extinction crisis caused by humans, and that rainforest is where most of the terrestrial species are. Half of the world's species are. They're the most biodiverse ecosystem on the planet, at least on land. The only rival being the coral reef. It's unclear which has more species. And so I wanted to save species. And the best way to do that is save their habitat, because habitat loss is the number one reason why species are going extinct. Rainforest is the most biodiverse terrestrial habitat.
So you were drawn to the tropical rainforest simply by the fact that that's where most of the animals are, and you were studying animal sciences, is that right?
That's right, animals and plants.
Growing up, did you have any kind of role model or mentor that inspired you along the way, in the media or otherwise?
Growing up, not so much. A little later in life, Paul Ehrlich with his population bomb and his advocacy for the environment, Barry Commoner, and and also David Brower, who I met Paul Ehrlich and got to know him a little bit. He is a professor at Stanford. and was. And I got to know David Brower very well because I lived in the Bay Area and he and still do. And he lived in Berkeley and he had waffle breakfast where he had people over. So I got a chance to know him and work a little bit with him. He was actually on our board of directors for the nonprofit I set up to save rainforest and endorsed my work and our work.
So do you remember the point in time when you decided I'm going to start an organization and spearhead an effort to save tropical rainforest? Was there a turning point, a moment of decision that you can recall?
No one moment. When I was a grad student at Berkeley, they had lunchtime seminars and they started talking about roads that were being built in the Amazon basin and destroying rainforest and the urgency to save it. I was very lucky to be in contact with scientists and to become a scientist, so I got firsthand information before this got out to the general public. It was through these seminars and then just kind of seeing what was happening and the urgency and importance of it that I had to do something. And then after I graduated from Berkeley, I realized that there was a way to set up a foundation. And I used the book of Nolo Press so I didn't have to pay a lawyer and went ahead and did it myself and got my...
I've done that too, yeah.
Got my board of directors and set up the World Rainforest Fund, a nonprofit 501c3 tax-exempt organization dedicated to saving biodiversity and the world's rainforest. We actually went through a series of logical decisions with the board step by step. So first, looking at what is the best way to handle one's life? Well, it's altruism, help the world. What is the best way to do that? Well, of course, you can debate this. There are many issues, but I decided that biodiversity is so important in so many ways because it's important to our food supply. The plants are important to the oxygen and important to regulation of our climate, not just the greenhouse effect, but in other ways, which we'll all discuss later. But the very, very important, you can help people and animals and plants in so myriad ways by saving biodiversity. So that's one of the best possible ways to help the earth and society, humans and animals. And then what is the best way to save biodiversity? Well, save the area that has the highest biodiversity, where one half of the world's species live, which is rainforest. Well, if you're going to save rainforest, where should you concentrate, which will have the most traction? Well, that would be the area with the most rainforest, which would be the Amazon basin, the most continuous intact rainforest. What would be the best country to focus on? Well, it would be the country with the most rainforest in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. That would be Brazil, but we don't limit it to Brazil. We focus there, but also going to other areas with high biodiversity, such as Ecuador. And what would be the most effective way to save rainforest? Which tactic? Well, it turns out two scientific studies have shown that the best way to save rainforest in a lasting way that really has traction and lasts, and also you can save the most rainforest per donor dollar, is by empowering the indigenous people who live in the rainforest. And I didn't realize this until I saw these studies, and then I thought about it, and it makes a lot of sense. Because if you simply set up national parks in tropical third world countries, those countries don't tend to have the money and often not the will or priorities to hire the guards needed to protect the rainforest. So poachers come in, cut the trees, shoot the animals, and develop it anyway. And it becomes what's known as a paper park, not a real park. It's not really protected. I've been to Amazonas National Park in Brazil, and at the time I went, this huge, huge park, bigger than many of the states in the United States, had only 6 guards to protect it, and they were underfunded in terms of the materials they needed to get around. to protect it anyway. Whereas if you help empower indigenous people who already live in the rainforest, they want to save it. They are already wanting to save their home. It's their home. So they are natural guards that you don't have to pay, that are already there in usually fairly large numbers. So that's why it's the most effective way to save rainforests, both in terms of dollars spent per rainforest saved, per acre of rainforest saved, and also in terms of lasting benefit that you've saved it, it tends to be saved more or less. Nothing's permanent, but more or less permanently.
Long term, yes. You've made some very good points and very logical points. It leads to my next question, but I'm going to actually step back for just a second and just make note that your organization, you founded back in 1984. Wow, you've been going for a couple dozen years now.
Yeah.
At least. This has been your career and a lifelong effort for you.
Yeah, 28 years.
28 years, wow.
I'm an evolutionary biologist, so I also do the scientific research as well as the environmental work.
Uh-huh.
I should point out we've been most of our time, and we still are, an educational organization. So I give talks and I write articles and we teach people. You know, we go to school groups, business groups, civic groups, rodeo club, Lions Club, ghouls at all levels, churches, and educate people in the Bay Area about the need to save rainforest.
And how is your group funded? Everybody needs money to run on. You've mentioned a number of ways that your conservation group is kind of different and unique, the emphasis that you have on the Brazilian Amazon and the empowering of indigenous people to protect their native lands. And I know from seeing website that you are a very efficient and effective organization, largely volunteer, unpaid staff. Most of the money goes directly to your efforts. How do you fund this?
Okay, well, thank you for that question, because our funding primarily does not come from government or foundation grants. It actually primarily comes from people like you, people, donors who like the work that we're doing. That is our primary source of funding, is the general public.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Go to PetcoDeals.com and get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off hundreds of items at Petco.
PetcoDeals.com.
But that's not all.
Are you talking to me?
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to AudibleDeals.com.
That's AudibleDeals.com.
The new Dyson Animal Backs are powerful bagless upright backings for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. Go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com.
To order your Dyson Animal Back today.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on awesome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Jones. I believe that the destruction of the tropical rainforest is humankind's greatest environmental problem. Not climate change, not pollution, not nuclear waste, not food production, not a whole host of topics you could add to the list. I care about these things, and I have to admit that climate change and the depletion of the oceans have my particular attention. But I know that the destruction of the tropical rainforest is number one. Now, I would not be surprised if you told me that none of the people around you in your daily life are doing anything to help save the remaining tropical rainforest. We obviously have to change this situation. Many people do not take action on this issue because they're confused about what to do. Confusion breeds inaction. Well, I have a solution. Visit the Jungle Deep website and look in the directory at the top of the show homepage for my new article called How Can I Help Save the Rainforest? It includes my 5 steps to saving the rainforest. It's simple, direct, clear-cut, I probably shouldn't have used that expression. It's direct and it's simple. Anyone can follow these steps, and everyone should. Get a copy into the hands of everyone around you. At the very least, it's a great conversation starter. And together, when there is enough of us taking action, we will save both humanity and the planet. Read and print out the list, 5 Steps to Saving the Rainforest, from the Jungle Deep website. Go to calaverasgold.tv and click on Jungle Deep in the directory.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Now, more of
Jungle Deep. Deep.
We have donors who give from all levels. Every little bit helps, even $5, $10. We put it to work. But we have people who've given up to $6,000. We are, you know, applying for grants too at this point because we've moved into that realm, but it really is primarily the general public. And you do make a good point that we do pride ourselves in the efficiency of spending the money. In other words, many environmental and social cause groups vary tremendously in how much of the money goes to their target that they're actually mandated to do, to carry out their mission, versus administration and fundraising activities. We have a board of directors and a board of advisors. I'm the president and founder. All of us do not draw any salary at all, including myself. It's all volunteer, including the board of directors and the board of advisors. Of course, sometimes we have to have paid people when we have to have, for example, someone who set up our website, someone who we hire specifically for fundraising. But we get an awful lot of volunteers and awful lot of help from groups that we ally ourselves with. So, for example, to empower Indians, we need to make contacts and we need to empower the indigenous people by meeting and being in contact with indigenous people who are reliable and who are running legitimate indigenous organizations dedicated to saving rainforest in Latin America. And for that, we have help from different groups such as Rainforest Foundation US in New York and Amazon Watch and our connections with them. Therefore, I and other people don't spend donors' money flying down to, say, Brazil and spending time meeting these people. We get help through contacts and we don't even pay for that. So we do very well in terms of spending donors' money really on saving rainforests, education, empowering the indigenous people, although obviously sometimes we have to hire people for necessary work, such as I mentioned, setting up the website, which we have.
Sure. It sounds challenging to be a non-membership organization, and yet, I mean, you save on overhead with that. At the same time, you have to go after new donations on a pretty regular basis from the general public to fund your important work. I imagine that's less than satisfactory, I would think. One of the reasons I started this podcast was to try to help bring attention to the work of people like you. Because frankly, some 15 years ago, I was an environmental educator on the front lines and going to schools and all kinds of events to teach the public about the problems we have trying to preserve the tropical rainforests. And I got to meet a lot of wonderful people who worked very hard in the area of environmental education, and all of them that I ever met were either underpaid or not paid at all. And it's something that we, you know, as we make it a higher priority, we also have to empower it with funding. And I hope that I can bring attention and focus to the work of groups like yours and help bring some funds as well, because we need it. We need it to do our work.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate what you're doing for us and for all the other environmental groups. I myself find it very satisfying. I, you know, have another source of income, and I really am passionate about my work, so I don't really need to be paid for being president of an environmental organization such as my own. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit, if it's okay, Ken, about why we should save rainforests.
You're a non-membership organization, emphasis on Brazilian rainforests, Amazonian rainforests. Your tactic is to empower indigenous people to actually mark their lands, their territories, and get official legal ownership of their lands so they can really control what happens in their homelands. You're active in public education, and you give some grants as well to help apparently other efforts. On your website, you mentioned climate change as being something you're concerned about, and maybe perhaps a bit unique in the fact that you make that a part of your approach to rainforest conservation. Talk to us a little bit about climate change, global warming, and what it has to do with tropical rainforests.
Okay, and I should point out that when we help demarcation with indigenous people's land, that is very important, because the Brazilian constitution and a lot of the Latin American constitutions actually protect the land of indigenous people. It's in the constitution, but they have no way of proving they own the land, so people come in and cut the trees and shoot the animals anyway. If you mark the land with markers and get them a deed of title, they bring it to court, and then they always win, and they get government troops or police to go in and defend the land, and they win. So it's a very effective tactic to mark the land and give them legal title. Now, rainforest, you see, is made up of trees that, like any tree, carries out photosynthesis, producing oxygen and taking carbon dioxide, the major greenhouse gas, out of the atmosphere. So they help alleviate global warming tremendously. However, when you cut or burn rainforest, the tree either decomposes or is burned, releasing the carbon dioxide, again, the main gas of global warming, global climate change, into the atmosphere. And so a cut or burn tree is changed from an ally into a adversarial entity. It's good to save rainforest, important to save rainforest to protect the climate against disruptive global warming and disruptive climate change. At the same time, rainforests regulate climate in another way, and that's they affect the reflectivity of the earth, which is also called the albedo. When the green canopy of the rainforest is intact, the sun's rays are reflected at a certain percentage. On the other hand, if it's cut and there's soil there, that changes that reflectivity or albedo of the earth, changing the climate, changing the atmospheric currents, the atmospheric pressures, and the wind patterns and the rain patterns to the detriment. A third thing is local climate. When you cut rainforest, the trees there undergo a thing when rainforest is left intact. The trees carry out evapotranspiration, which is taking the water up through their trunk and up through their leaves and releasing it into the atmosphere, creating local rainfall. And in fact, in the Amazon basin, half the rain comes from the Atlantic Ocean and half of it comes from evapotranspiration, and is actually created by the trees, by the vegetation. And it, in fact, leapfrogs across the rainforest in a kind of a pattern of convection currents starting on the Atlantic Ocean and going over to the Andes, where it's finally deposited. And then the Amazon River gets its water from the snow melt of the Andes, which is provided, actually, the moisture for that snow provided by the trees. So when you cut rainforest, you lose half of this precipitation, and so you get local droughts, so the local farmers can't grow their food. So they're very important for local crop production. Also, of course, they're important for global crop production because when you make the greenhouse effect worse and make global warming worse, and as I explained, change the albedo, farmers around the world are subject to droughts and floods and all kinds of other problems, so food production goes down. Of course, global warming has many other problems like melting glaciers and melting ice caps and inundating coastlines and global famine being caused by it and so on.
And we've heard a lot about some of those problems this year in the reports that the ice caps at the North Pole are the thinnest and most melted far beyond what they've ever been in recorded history.
That's right.
So we're losing our ice, and that's one of the major obvious evidences of climate change going on right now.
That's right. Another positive feedback effect, because the ice being white reflects the heat, and when you melt it, the ocean is darker and absorbs the heat. Again, that's the albedo or reflectivity of the Earth, and you get into a snowball effect where it gets hotter and melts more ice and gets hotter.
And we've heard about that in regards to the ice at the North Pole and South Pole, but we don't hear about that so much about the rainforest. But you make the point the same process goes on with rainforest destruction.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's a positive feedback loop where rainforest destruction makes global warming worse, but global warming makes things hotter and takes the moisture away from the rainforest, so you get local droughts, actually more than local droughts, widespread droughts in the rainforest. And the rainforest,
it's a negative feedback loop.
Positive feedback is where...
With negative effects.
Negative feedback is stabilizing. Positive feedback is destabilizing.
Now you're talking like a scientist.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
This has been part one of our two-part conversation with David Seaborg. You will hear the balance of our conversation on episode 16. Be sure to share Jungle Deep Podcast with your friends and coworkers. The show is my creation. Audience growth is especially important for Jungle Deep to succeed and prosper. So share the show. You can see beautiful photos and learn more about Jungle Deep at our website, calaverasgold.tv. Now that's Spanish, Calaveras, C-A-L-A-V-E-R-A-S, gold, G-O-L-D, like the mineral, .tv, like television. You gotta check it out. Where else can you go for this kind of fun? Just click on the Jungle Deep title in the header directory. Our show notes pages have valuable links for you. I invite you to email me at jungledeep@calaverasgold.tv and follow me on Twitter. Search for Jungle Deep or KenJones56, all one word. I would love to hear your ideas for the show. Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.